In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't raised in an Orthodox family, but I'm thankful that I grew up in a home where going to church was something that was taken very seriously. Normally, we went to church three times a week, and sometimes we went to church every day of the week if there was a revival going on, which was not infrequent occasion. But even when I was in high school and I got away from God, and if you asked me what my religion was, I would have told you I was a Christian because I was getting into Eastern mysticism and all kinds of stuff. But there was never a Sunday where I just sat at home and decided I wasn't going to go to church. For one thing, my mother wouldn't have let me while I was still living at home. But even after that, there was never a Sunday morning where I woke up and thought, I don't feel like going to church. I'm not going to go. If I'm not in church, it's because there's something preventing me from being there, not because I don't want to be there. And one thing about going to church that you should understand is that when we go to heaven, that's going to be church for all eternity. And some people will say, well, that sounds pretty boring because I don't like going to church. I don't want to be spending eternity in church. Well, you know what? Heaven will not be boring. We can't imagine what it will be, but we know that it won't be boring. And why won't it be boring? Because we're going to be in the presence of God. And what you need to understand is if you opened up your spiritual eyes when you come to church, you'd realize that you're in the presence of God here. And it wouldn't be boring to you. So it's only boring when your eyes are closed. You need to open up your eyes. And one thing that we see from the gospel reading this morning is that Christ kept the Sabbath. When Christ was baptized by St. John the Baptist, St. John the Baptist didn't want to do it. But Christ told him, go ahead and do it because I need to fulfill all righteousness. And the reason why that was he was living the life perfectly that no one else had ever lived. He was keeping the law. He was not failing to do anything that he was supposed to do as a man, even though he was God in the flesh. So he went to church. He was either in the temple or he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath. He wasn't just ignoring those kinds of things. And what we see in this gospel reading is that being in church is something that you want to be, because if you are spiritually infirm, you're in the right place, because this is the place of healing. The gospel reading begins, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. So you have to get a picture in your mind of what that's saying, because you can just go past the words and not even really give it any thought. We're talking about a woman who for 18 years, her head was down to her knees. She was just bent over. She might even had to walk on all fours to get from one place to the next. In our time, we have all kinds of surgeons that can fix stuff like that, and so we don't see lots of people like that, but it wasn't uncommon in the ancient world where they didn't have that kind of medicine to see people who had an infirmity like that, where they just were unable to really function as a normal human being. And we're not told exactly how she came to be in that condition, whether it was due to her sins of her own or whether it was just a demonic attack of some sort. But we do know that it was the devil that had bound her. So this was not just a infirmity that was of the body only, but it was an infirmity of the spirit. And Christ later makes that clear in this gospel reading. So here we have a woman who really would have had an excuse not to be in church. But what did she do? For 18 years, when it was time to go and pray, she somehow got herself there and she prayed. And she no doubt spent 18 years praying that God would heal her. And I'm sure for 18 years it seemed like God was not answering her prayer. And then one day, the God of the universe in the flesh walked into that synagogue when she happened to be there. So she was in the right place. And so even when we don't feel like going to church, we need to go. Even when our eyes are closed spiritually, we need to go because we need to be in the right place that we can be healed. It says, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and he said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Christ first spoke to this woman, and then he laid his hands on her. And as I mentioned many times, it's when you look at these various healing accounts, it's interesting to see how different they all are. Because in some cases, he didn't even see the person at all. He was just asked, and he pronounced the person healed, and they were healed from a distance. In other cases, he would spit, make clay, and put them in their eyes to heal their blindness. Or in one case, he spat and touched his spittle to the person's tongue so he could speak. He stuck his fingers in his ears, and he said, "Be opened." And his ears were opened. Christ is the physician of the soul. He knows each and every one of us, and he knows what it is that we need. And one thing this tells us is that God doesn't just love humanity in general, but none of us in particular. God loves us in particular. He loves each and every one of us. And it was by God's providence that he happened to be in that synagogue on that day and see that woman and heal her. Because he loved her, and he loves you, and he wants to heal you too. But everybody wasn't happy about this, unfortunately. This could have been the end of the story right there. Christ healed this woman. She glorified God. End of story. But we had the ruler of the synagogue who was very upset. It says, "And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And he said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." And he fell into a trap that it's easy to fall into if you're a religious person and you take your faith seriously, and that's that you can focus on the details to such a point that you lose what the point of all those details is. You don't see the forest for the trees. He was focusing on the minutiae and not seeing what all that was there for. And so all the boxes had not been checked. Christ didn't do exactly what he thought he ought to be doing on the Sabbath day. And this person was intimidated enough by Christ, probably because he had heard how Christ had answered other Pharisees who had rebuked him for these kinds of things before. And so he didn't even address Christ directly. He addressed the people. But of course, the people hadn't done anything. Christ was the one that decided to heal this woman. This woman hadn't even asked to be healed. So he was really directing this at Christ, but he didn't have the courage to do it. And then we're told, "The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away for watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him." There's a spiritual meaning of this story. We're told by the fathers that this woman represents the soul, and the soul is bent over by sin and focused on earthly things. Can't look up to heaven, is only looking to the earth. And when it talks about, in our English translation, that Satan had bound her 18 years, in Greek it actually says that she was bound 10 and 8 years. And what the fathers say about this is that the 10 stands for the 10 commandments, which we are weak in keeping. And the 8 stands for the eighth day, the eternal eighth day, which is what we should be hoping for, but we're weak in hope. We lose hope in God. We don't keep the commandments. And so the question is, how can we be healed? We can be healed if we come to the church like this woman and confess our sins, rest from doing evil. And Christ will heal us by word and deed. Christ's spoken word represents the teachings of the church. If we'll listen to the teachings of the church and do what we're taught, put it into action, we'll be healed. And his laying on of hands represents the grace of the mysteries, which will raise us up if we join ourselves to cooperate with that grace. So if you've been bent over by focusing on the things of the world, by failing to keep the commandments and to hope in God, and you're unable by yourself to lift up your eyes to heaven, you need to come to church. You need to confess your sins, rest from doing evil, and hear the word of the God-man, Jesus Christ, "Thou art loose from thine infirmities," and know that he loves you. He doesn't just love everybody in general, but he loves you in particular, and he wants to heal you, and just believe that. If we confess our sins, we're told by St. John, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and he will heal us. He'll give us the power to live the kind of a life he's called us to do if we just simply will believe that. So just take those words to heart and believe it. He'll lay his grace-filled hands upon our souls and raise us up if we'll just simply embrace that and believe it. Amen.